Today's guest is Dr. Christine Lee. And Dr. Lee is a procrastination expert. She is someone who learned about this topic because she was a procrastinator. And oftentimes people who are experts in things, and if you listen to a lot of my episodes and people who specialize in things, it's usually because they have a history of something that they had to overcome. And she is a perfect example of that. And I love her tips. She has come up with a framework called SMAC. And I love frameworks because I think they help us remember. And so hopefully that, you know, when you hear it, you can apply it going forward because you'll think of the word SMAC. And so she talks about what the acronym means, what the words that make up the acronym mean, and how it helps us to reduce that overwhelm that comes with procrastinating, that stress, and to increase our productivity. So great tips. And she, of course, shares her backstory. And I share a little tidbit of mine because, you know, honestly, I think that we all procrastinate. No matter what, it's a part of life. There's things on our plate that we don't want to do, and we always put them to the bottom of the list and we just push them off. And so learning how to navigate once you get into that procrastination mode is so, so important. And so hopefully you'll come away from this episode with some knowledge about how to deal with that when it happens to you next. So yes, and FYI, just so you know, I always record these episodes 4 to 6 weeks in advance. So when she refers to tax season, it's because we record this episode in early April. So I do avoid procrastinating my podcast episodes. We used to do them like the week before and it was like crunch mode. And we got wise on that. So we didn't talk about that on this episode. I should have told her. She would have been very proud of me. So anyways, no further ado, let's get to the episode now.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today my guest is Christine Lee. I should say Dr. Christine Lee. So she is a clinical psychologist and she is a procrastination coach. So I'm very excited to get her wisdom today because I think we all do a bit of procrastination. And so I would love to get some really great nuggets that we can leave this conversation with and actually apply. So welcome to the program, Christine.
Thank you, Lori. I'm so happy to be here. We've been connecting back and forth for a little bit, and I'm so glad we got to have this opportunity to talk with each other today. And I'm very excited to share everything I know about beating procrastination with you and your audience.
Yay. So yeah, Christine and I are in a mentorship and I can't believe that we haven't connected and you haven't been on the podcast yet. So we made a point to have some breakfast together this last time. And it was so nice because we have been virtual for so long, not able to get together. And we were actually together in California. And that was so cool. And she and I both did a photo shoot. We have the same photographer. So yes, we were having fun with that. So tell me, can we just get started? You just giving your backstory of how, because you were telling me before we hit record that you're mostly online now, which is kind of unusual. Not a lot of people who do what you do. And now a lot of people are going online. I think the pandemic kind of pushed a lot of people over the edge. So tell me, you know, like kind of what your background is with, and what made you decide to focus on specifically procrastination?
Okay. I will answer that in just the backstory. And I have been a clinical psychologist for more than 20 years, just your standard see people one person per hour for that amount of time in New York City, and in the suburbs of New York. I've enjoyed that a lot. And about 10 years ago, I just had an itch to get online because I think all of that was really getting started, and I could see that there was such an opportunity to reach more people with the information that I had found for myself. And that was that you do not have to be stuck being a procrastinator all of your life, that you could actually discard that behavior. You could get rid of that impulse to delay everything. And the reason I had discovered all of that is because I myself had been a really seriously, chronically impaired person when it came to productivity. I knew every single way around a deadline. I would make myself bananas and exhausted and sick, just trying to get a simple task done. And just a lucky confluence of events made me straighten up and made me actually investigate what kind of resources are there for people who are interested in becoming more productive and not stressing themselves out every time there was a new task to be done. I was working at a major university in their counseling service, and one of the deans requested a procrastination workshop, and I innocently and naively volunteered for that assignment. And then that's really what started me on this exploration path, which continues to this day. I have built my own techniques. I have tried every app. I have read a lot of books and listened to a lot of podcasts on productivity, getting things done, beating anxiety, working with ADHD and learning disabilities. It kind of encompasses a lot of other areas that you could fit under a clinical practice, but also just belong in your everyday conversation with your girlfriend or guy friend about, well, how come we're feeling so stuck? And where do we get the answers if we're feeling anxious about something and time is ticking by? How do we get ourselves to be in motion again? And I just knew 10 years ago that there weren't many resources that people knew about to cover this very prominent and familiar issue. We all have experienced some version of procrastination, even if accidentally. And I feel like there aren't that many resources that people can turn to get help.
Yeah, that's interesting. I always think those like workshops sounds like a little nudge from the universe that like, said, you can learn this and teach other people, Christine. But yeah, so where, how did it show up for you? Because when I think about your background with lots of school and, you know, advanced degrees and such, and I think about me, and I used to always like wait till the last minute to study. And I used to say, and kind of being proud about it, you know, like, oh, I work really well under a deadline. And I would say that about work too. Like I wait and I wouldn't give myself the time that it needed. I had this belief that I was more effective, but yet I was imposing all the stress on me with, which I don't even know that I realized.
Yeah.
So was that part of your pattern? Was it schoolwork that you were delaying?
That is so much of the pattern, I think, for so many people. And I think you hit the two nails on the head, that it's both like, oh, I'm so kind of skilled at getting things in just under the wire, or that's when my brilliance comes up. But then you're also at the same time feeling miserably and scared and panicked and just like at all ends, like everything is coming apart at the same time. And I absolutely experienced that time and time and time again. And you're right, throughout my formal education, which did go on for many, many years. So the doctoral program alone was 6 or 7 years of my life. And I got things in, but at such a heavy cost to each assignment. You know, I feel like I didn't show up with my best brain or my best material oftentimes, because there was so much overlapping in the clinical training program. It's just like you're driving to Brooklyn. I was driving to the end of Brooklyn on a Saturday morning, and then would be crawling home with groceries at 10 o'clock at night. And in between, I had to make sense of a schedule without really knowing basic scheduling behaviors and techniques. So it was all a hodgepodge and it was all a mess. And thankfully I survived, but I'm here to just try to help the one person who might be listening today who feels, oh, there must be another way. And I don't necessarily have to be the person who comes up with it. I can actually listen to this podcast and get some ideas for how to do things a different way tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be so valuable because, you know, I just actually have my own personal experience because I, like, even though I'm not working in the corporate world anymore, I have my own business and there's still things that I procrastinate because, like, they don't like them as much. So, like, you know, I'll push them off and I'll do my favorite things instead. And so I have a launch coming up that we just, my main guy and I call him an integrator. He's like the one who does all the scheduling and everything. And he was like really honest with me. And he said, you know, I think knowing with the past experience, I think we need more time. And he was going on vacation. I'm going out to do a week of training on a travel thing. And so, you know, I sat down and thought, you know, we were having this conversation. I said, why would I push to keep it on the current date? What's up here going on? And what's the harm in moving it if it can be actually better, you know, less stress, higher quality maybe. And so if we were to ask ourselves, you know, am I at my best self, like you said, to get this done by this deadline where I like wait to the last minute, but what could it have been? What could it have been if I built in the extra time? And I guess the other question I have is, why is it that we think that, and I don't know. I think that sometimes I feel that if I have more time, it won't be as good. Like if I have less time, it's going to be my best stuff. And that's so backwards thinking. Yeah.
Well, so. It's just human thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Because time is something that we can play with and we all play with it, hopefully in a good way that, oh, wow, how can I use that future time? How do I want that to feel? How productive do I actually need and want to be? And that's a beautiful thing. Even when we're planning launches that might be a little bit stressful or have a lot of operating pieces involved, that you want to be envisioning and you want to be envisioning in a positive way. But the way that sometimes we play with time to our disadvantage is we don't set kind of a consistent pace for ourselves where we know, you know what, in this amount of time, I can reliably do this. And that I think is because we're playing with deadlines a lot. And so we never really fully get to trust ourselves to say, okay, if I say this is going to take 3 days to build, it's going to be done in 3 days. That one-to-one match of our intention and our results and our output and our behavior isn't really there in a way that we can trust. And I think that is probably the single biggest improvement that you can make. So maybe you're not a perfect one-to-one because you've had a lifelong history of missing deadlines, but if you could get an inch closer, that's going to pay off over time. You're going to find yourself trusting yourself more. You're going to find yourself having more time. You're going to find yourself hitting deadlines more reliably, and you're going to like that feeling because it's an immediate feedback to yourself that, oh, I can trust myself. It isn't just up to my VA to dictate what the dates are. I can do this with him and we can do it solidly. And let's do this the next time. That's the beautiful thing about being an entrepreneur. There are all sorts of opportunities for testing these things and for testing our courage and our productivity rates.
Yeah.
Because there's always something.
Yeah. So funny that you brought that up because that was in the back of my mind. And I personally never can predict how much time accurately something's going to take. It always takes me more. And I tell myself that I'm just an optimist because I always think it's going to take less time and then it takes more. And so I'm curious, you said, you know, a lot about apps and I don't know, I definitely want to know kind of what the signs are of procrastination and how best to kind of switch into getting out of that state and some tips on that. But yeah, so I'd love to know what you think of these apps. That the one that comes to mind is I think it's called Pomodoro, and it's like timed things. And when that stresses me out, when I think about like that, I have to get something done that might be half-assed. Cause you know, like what I feel is I make my deadlines, but it's always complete. I always feel it's complete. And if I know that it's due the next day, I will stay up all night if I need to stay up all night, but it will be complete. And I just, when being under the gun with like a ticking clock, that feels overwhelming to me.
Okay. So I think you hit another nail on the head that it's that story. It's a story of a kind. It is what we're feeling. And you are feeling literal, I'm going to say literal pressure within your body. Your cells are kind of like straining towards the end and worried. And the trick really is to practice feeling calm, even at those end moments where you're right up to the deadline, where you're telling yourself, the fact that I need to be productive has nothing to do with my emotional state, that I can separate these things safely. And I think we are brought up in a system, the educational system, and sometimes our home system, that basically pairs stress and productivity, that your brain can function perfectly fine, actually sometimes even better when you're feeling calm than when you're feeling panicked. And of course, sometimes we function really well under panic, but you don't want to make a habit of that if you can. If you can just reduce the stress level, that's just a win for your body. That's just a win for how you see your time. And then you'll likely see your work as a lot less threatening or painful or frustrating. That's half the battle, is to see, oh, the work is just the work. It's not going to kill me. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to be humiliated. This is definitely going to get done. So if that's assumed, what attitude do I want to have while thinking about this? I want to be calm. I want to be organized. I want to have a timer. If it helps me, if it doesn't, no worries, because I know I'm going to hit the deadline anyway.
Yeah. You know, what comes up for me is when you say have a timer, instead of viewing the timer as, you know, this is it, you got to be done by then, instead think of it as this is break time. Because if you have to manage your emotions, that is what's important, right? Is getting away from it. That's something that I used to never do. I do so much better at that now, is to like stop and take a break and let your brain breathe, you know?
Well, that's the curse of procrastination, is that you never get a moment to breathe because you're always under the gun. And then the longer you pause on one thing, the more things pile up. And then now you have a train of things that you're worried about and starting to get afraid about. It's tax season right now. Mine are currently finished, but I know there are a lot of people right now at April 12th or April 11th, who are a little bit worried right now. Yeah. And they're feeling the mounting pressure. And it's just a habit to feel like, oh, why can't I get out of this cycle? And I think the emotional route of calming your system down first is actually a piece that gets under addressed and is not really promoted that much, because we're so used to generating stress and allowing stress in our lives. And fortunately, you know, maybe the COVID era allowed everybody to maybe take a look at how were they running their homes and their lives and their stress systems. I mean, of course, the whole thing was radically unfortunate as well, but I think we did all take a look and examine, how do we run our lives? How do we pace ourselves? And what do we tolerate sometimes a little bit too much of? So I'm here to just advocate, don't tolerate your procrastination too much. Allow it to come in and help you when it's quick and necessary and recoverable, but don't get yourself in a habit of chronic, long-term, consistent procrastination where everything becomes a burden.
Yeah, it reminds me of a great guest I had recently, Dr. Tammy Berry. She was a surgeon, and she became, because of what the stress did to her in that job, she stopped doing it, and she's now an expert in stress resilience. And one thing that was so interesting that I hadn't thought of, but it makes so much sense. And I know how, like, what is modeled for you, like, is what is created for you, right? Those are the belief systems that you endorse. And so she said a lot of her clients are people who come to her because they see the effects of them living in a stressful, like, you know, allowing stress in their life, how it affects their children.
Absolutely.
So. And so that whole, like, cause you said it, you know, it's like the educational system, but it's like how it is at home.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. You want to speak to that at all? And in terms of how we're harming the kids today?
Well, I just read on Instagram, you know, where we learn all things that I think it was, I don't remember the name of the person, so I won't quote her, unfortunately, that energy, that vibrational feeling and mood of our early childhood home, if it was on the chaotic side or on the dysfunctional side or on the anxious side, worry, 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 stress, 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 that's the baseline feeling we grow into adulthood with. So when there's a pause in the action, or when we're left alone, or when we're just mulling things over, the default mood is that chaos, dysfunction, anxiety, worry. And that's the trick of becoming a satisfied adult, I think, is to understand that you can transform that default setting into anything that you like. Some people really like being active, having a little bit of stress in the air. I think I tend to be that kind of person sometimes. I don't like to be bored, kind of a thing.
Well, you know, we have a type A thing. It's a label, and we're proud of it. We're proud of it. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm type A.
I think I'm like, I don't think of myself as a type A, because I tend to be someone who messes up sometimes, you know, and I think chasing perfection makes me even more stressed sometimes, but I do like to be very active and busy. So, you know, that's a good point too, that we need to embrace the part of us that is that core natural self that never will go away. It doesn't matter what country we move to, what job we changed into, or how old we are, that we're going to be either type A, we're going to be busybodies, we're going to be Zen masters. That's just who we are. We came to the planet meant to be that way. And I think there's a part of us that's really core that way. And we move away from that core because of stress and worry and procrastination. And that's why it's so important to strip away the layers that we've put over us that are not feeding our souls and not feeding our natural talents. We're all so miraculously gifted in this world. And I think that's why you put on this podcast, is because you're interested in spotlighting everyone's true spark and genius and life. And I think that's beautiful. And you're wonderful at what you do. And thankfully you've gotten over, right, like the barriers that you had to be able to express yourself in this way and to lead your tribe forward. It's amazing.
Yeah. So why don't you give us, me and the listeners, some tips on, okay, you recognize, because awareness obviously is the first, you know, that's like keying into, okay. Oh, now I'm like operating from this place of, like, you know, last minute ish, I guess. And so what would I do if I saw myself, like, right now I feel so unstressed, where I know if we hadn't switched our dates, I would have been like, oh my God, I'm going out next week. And I know I can do it. But it's like, gonna, you know, and then I'd be like having all these, like, you know, cortisol and all this stuff that really isn't healthy swimming around my body. So like, what should we do when we start to feel ourselves like fall into that trap?
Okay, great. I have a 5-letter acronym. that I use to help people remember the things that really work. I'll put it that way. And they are the things that I use to really recover. It's the word is smack. So I say, this is a way to smack your procrastination away from you. And S is simplicity. And I think that that is a fantastic way for anyone to start on this journey, is really to just say, what do I have to simplify? Simplify the thoughts coming into my head, simplify my calendar, simplify my closet, simplify how I do things, simplify my commute or my routines. And there's so much that we can simplify. We're all basically just inundated with stuff and input and influx and TikTok, whatever is coming at you. You could really decide to pause it and just clear out the fridge, clear out the stuff, donate the boxes. I'm sure you cover this on your podcast as well, just really unburdening your brain, because your brain is somehow trying to figure all of that out when you're trying to concentrate. So unburden your brain. That would be the first letter.
That's one of the tenets that Sarah Von Brannick, I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's spelled differently than it's pronounced, but she did this book about simple abundance, and simplicity is one of the tenets. And it's so interesting because what order, and I think order is another one, but you know, simplify, like when you say like cleaning out the fridge, to me, that's like simplifying and ordering, you know, it's like a sense of order.
Yeah.
And those things can combine great, but even individually, like just straightening up your coffee table.
Yeah.
It's something so simple, but it creates this feeling of abundance. And So I love that. Yeah. I can imagine that it would be really important for your framework and, you know, reducing the stress. And
research shows that clutter interferes with our brain's ability to focus. It's the research is there. We all kind of know that, because that's the power of clutter. It draws our attention to that corner or to that top of the closet part that never really quite gets tended to. We all know that stuff is there because our brain, it's this open loop. So the brain tends to go to what is unfinished. That's another psychological principle. So you want to simplify. So the things that you're simplifying are taken care of. That's absolutely something that happens when you do that.
Yeah. So time spent on those things that you think, it doesn't matter, it probably would actually.
It matters
a lot. Yeah,
it does. It does. Yeah.
Okay. So that's only one. So what are your others?
Okay. M is mindfulness. And we've talked about that. That is really, for me, being in the present moment as best as you can. It's as simple as that. Like what happened yesterday is yesterday. What happened tomorrow, let that be tomorrow. But your joy and your power really reside in how you're taking care of today and the present moment. And don't fill today with worry, because that's draining today of all of its power too. Yeah. Worry is a distraction. It's a time waster and it's a distraction. And that happens to be A, which is anxiety reduction. And I think that anxiety reduction is kind of a daily practice that we need to be on the lookout for potential threats to our sanity and calmness and peace of mind. And with COVID, we've survived an onslaught of those kind of daily worries and concerns for our well-being. Let's hope we're moving out of that phase. I think we are, but it goes way beyond the COVID fears and bodily fears. It's kind of just like, are you leaving enough time to get yourself to your doctor's appointment? Because even that 15-minute journey could create a stress cycle within you, and that is avoidable. You can actually do that in a different way next time. Okay. And just take those opportunities, because it's worth it to work to gradually lower your stress level. Absolutely. Breathing is a fantastic free way. You don't need a therapist to help you with this. Take 3 deep breaths. Anytime you feel like your mind is taking over, or your to-do list is taking over, or you're feeling like you're just going to throw your hands up, just take 3 deep breaths. And then C is communication. And I think communication is really not spoken about enough, ironically, because we should communicate about absolutely everything. Words are how we get things done. Words are how we stay connected to people and how we stay on the same page with people. And I think when we're steeped in procrastination and feeling ashamed about what we've done or what we haven't done, we stop communicating as well as we're capable of. And that starts a cascade of trouble because now people are searching for you. Now people are wondering what happened. Now people are having to come up with stories about why you're not showing up or why you haven't turned in the thing. And I would just much rather have you say what's going on. You don't have to finish at that moment, but you do have to represent yourself to keep yourself in the game. And that will help you to beat procrastination in the end.
Yeah, that reminds me of the conversation we had at the retreat around integrity. I did a podcast episode on this recently. It was like, if you make a mistake, you know, how can you stay in integrity with it? And it's like the same thing. When you find yourself procrastinating, how can you stay in integrity? Because I think that, you know, we just beat, when you don't communicate, like you miss something, we beat ourselves up, like you said. And so that is so important. That kind of marries with the whole integrity thing.
Yes, absolutely. Communication supports our integrity. Mm-hmm. And when we lose our voice, it's kind of like everything starts to feel a little amorphous and stressful. So I think that's why I've always thought that we all enjoy hearing the truth. Even if the truth is a little uncomfortable or not what we like, it still rings kind of in a calm or calming way to us. We sense when people are not telling us the truth and we get disturbed by that. And I think there's a reason that we run things well when everybody's being truthful with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And not being, not communicating kind of like disempowers us.
Correct.
You know, it does. It just takes our power away when using our voice actually brings it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you have that's these cool tools inside of you now. So let's use them.
Yes. Yes.
And all finally, right. K, speaking of a tool inside of us, that's kindness to self.
That
is the key to everything, right? If you're beating yourself up morning, noon, and night, there's no room for you to do well because you're expecting yourself to fall down. You're expecting a failure. You're not seeing yourself as the rock star that you really are, the capable person who can learn new things and handle a little bit more of a tougher assignment if you have to, and just go to bed at night feeling like you did your best. That's great. If that's what you can get to, that's already a win. So be kind to yourself if you're just starting this journey midway or feeling like you've almost nailed it. Just be happy, gratitude for this life and this opportunity to change things that you don't like about how you're doing things, and looking forward to having a calmer, more open system of being.
Yeah. And so how do you operate in terms of a coach? So do you have like a group program where people come in and they actually go through something with you together?
That's a great question at this moment, because right now I'm in between programs. I have a membership. Okay. I call it the Success Lab, and I show up every Saturday morning, Eastern time, 10:30 in the morning, to do quick coaching with my group. And then everybody goes off on their own with videos off to do a little bit of their work. And then we reconvene to report back and just say goodbye for the weekend. And the lovely thing about it is it's become like family because we see each other so often. And because there's such a good mood when you start to get things done reliably.
Yeah.
So the lab helps people to get in sync with their intentions and their behavior so that everything is a match. What you say you're going to do is literally what you do for that 40 minutes after the coaching. And it helps people to get ready for a great weekend too. I think it's a great way to start your day and the free time that you have. And then I also do individual work, coaching and therapy, but I also have occasional group programs. Some are very structured with video content. Others are more coaching and seeing where people are at in the group. So it really depends, I think, basically on my mood, honestly, what I offer periodically. But thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. So I one of the things before we press record that you said, because I was like thinking about how does somebody know that they need help, right? And so one of the things you said is, yeah, I mean, you know, when you procrastinate, right? But it's more of a feeling of overwhelm. So do you want to speak to how that can show up, how it relates to procrastination?
Yeah, I think I'll just start with like, how do you figure out for yourself? And in psychology and psychiatry, we want to look at how many different areas of the person's life are being affected by the symptom or by the disorder or by the illness or by the situation. And really for me, it's like, if any one area is affected, you want to bring in the help, because we want to be flowing free human beings. We want to be at our best. And that means we're aiming for flow. And I think if you feel, I also believe we have just such strong intuition. And even if we're not paying attention to it so carefully, we know when something's not working well. We know that there's a smoother way or a quicker way through or a less painful way. And why wouldn't we want to seek assistance if somebody knows how to do this faster and easier and less painfully than we know at the moment? Of course, everybody has their own journey to travel. And I respect that absolutely. But if you're ready, go leap and find someone. Yeah. Reach out to me or Lori. You know, we can help you find the right person if we can. We're really a network, a broad network of coaches and entrepreneurs who are really interested in helping people live better lives. It's totally the truth. We're out here.
Yeah. I love how the coaching area has exploded. I think a lot of people during COVID too, was like something they've been wanting to do. And then they started to do it, maybe dabbling on the side first.
Yeah.
But I love it because it's all about the relationship, right? I mean, you just find somebody you connect with. Like I found James, and James might be the age of my kids, but I started listening to his podcast. I heard about him from somebody else. And I was just like, he made me laugh. He made me think. He made me, you know, he made me a better person. He has taught me, and he's still teaching me so much. So it's just like, and there's so many different specialties too. So I love a lot of different specialties that some of the things that people do are so, so interesting. But yeah, it's connecting with somebody who, you like-minded people, and somebody maybe who has journeyed through that, whatever it is, and has their own personal experience to share.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Lori's talking about our mutual coach, James Wedmore, who I know he's been on your podcast. He's been on mine too. And for me, it was his blend of knowing psychological principles and vibrations and concepts mixed with productivity and business. So those were the three things that I really connect with. And he was an obvious choice for me. I just like everything he produces, the way he thinks, the way he teaches us. It's all for the purpose of helping us expand and do better. So why wouldn't we follow this person who helps us so much?
Yeah. Yeah. He's shifted a lot of how I think about things, and also made me, well, I say made me a better person, because what I love about him that he's taught me is that everybody has unlimited potential inside of them. And no matter what obstacles we're facing, no matter what circumstances we're under, no matter how overwhelmed, how much we're procrastinating, no matter what, he sees the person in us who can like break through all of those obstacles and barriers. Like he sees like, you know, like our born soul that was born unlimited. And then we had all these like limitations placed on it through our experiences. So I love that the lens that he looks at the world in, and the good that he sees in everybody, and the how every person he sees, you know, has a purpose, and, you know, it's finding that and living that every day. So yeah, that's been really, really incredible. So anyways, thanks so much for being here. So like to end this, since my podcast is Not Your Average Lives, and I always like to ask this question. So how do you exemplify living a not your average life?
I think, thank you for giving me the tip off about this question, by the way. I still don't think I have a really concrete, specific answer. I think I have tried to take risks throughout my life and to live life almost by accident on purpose, kind of to let the new thing inform how the next thing is going to be and not be so rigid about what I expect or what I need. And so I'm an optimist too. I am looking for a good time. I'm looking for expansion and fun. And hopefully that's going to lead to a not so average life.
Yeah. Well, you're already there. I told her. So yeah, usually I have people fill out a questionnaire in advance. And so that process fell through the cracks with her. And so I told her before I hit record, I usually ask this at the end. And so one of the things I told her that I think makes her a little not average is the fact that she has an online business and in the over 50 bracket, because like not a lot of people like are that brave to venture into the technology world. I have a lot of people who are like, I don't know technology and I'm scared of it. So,
Yeah. I think, you know, what we learn from James, and I think what we have inside of us probably naturally is this idea that you know, there's just more to explore and there are no limits and technology might be a little annoying sometimes, but you can, if you put your mind to it, you will get through even the tech pieces. And I apologize for not filling out that form for you.
That's before.
Sometimes things fall through the cracks. And I cannot say, even with all of these years of recovery work, that my brain doesn't opt out sometimes, or that I don't get afraid of things sometimes. I do want to mention that to your audience, because I don't want to come across as someone who doesn't make mistakes anymore or doesn't get stressed anymore. But I do feel like I have opened up so much space for myself. And I think that's what I wanted to share today.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah. I feel like I am doing everything possible to not end up in the memory care unit because my brain cells are tested every single day. So that's important, right?
Yes.
All right. So thanks so much, Christine. And we'll see you around on the virtual Zoom calls.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.